On this episode of Vogue Uncut with me, Yvette King, we chat to Asian American designer Chet Lowe. Since studying knitwear at Central St. Martin's, Lowe continues to disrupt the fashion landscape with his irreverent creations. Dua Lipa, Kendall and Kylie Jenner, Doja Cat, and more have launched his namesake label into the collective fashion consciousness. His mother, durian fruit, Japanese comics, and a penchant for the futuristic are just some of the sources of his inspiration. Aside from his signature spikes, what is the common thread woven into the fabric of his entire design ethos? Probably drama. Chet, welcome to Vogue Uncut.
Hi.
You know what? I thought that we were going to get along because one, you love coffee just as much as me.
Oh, yeah.
Two, you love drama.
Yeah.
And three, twinning.
I know.
I love that. And you, this is the prototype?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is, I mean, don't tell anybody, even though we are broadcasting this right
now. Got that.
This is like one of the first samples that we received for approval. And they were like, oh yeah, like this isn't the final one. I made all these alterations. But then obviously when we got the final ones, they were like, for sale.
Yeah.
So we sold them and now I'm like, well, okay, this is the only one that's left and it's mine now.
I love that. It's not technically stealing if it's from your own
design. It was just going to sit in my closet either way. So it might as well sit on my shoulder.
So good. You know? Well, congratulations for your recent SS25 show, which was a wonderful celebration all about your mother. Can you tell us about your bond with her?
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's part of the reason why I started fashion, because as a little gay boy I used to like run into her closet whenever she was at work and I would like try on all of her clothes, and we were the same size shoe, so like I'd wear all of her shoes and like I mean we were the same size everything because she's quite a tiny woman, so like I used to try everything on and I felt amazing. And then, you know, also like she was this crazy kind of like corporate tycoon, like really, really amazing businesswoman. And she like used to tell us stories about how she would like destroy people at work and was like
so scary.
I know,
Tiger Mom.
I ate it up. I was like, oh my god, yes, like demand your promotion.
Stay queen.
She literally was like, yeah, there's one time like I, you know, told my boss that if they wouldn't let me leave to Hong Kong every like 2 weeks out of the month and give me a pay rise and give me a promotion, I'd leave for their competitors.
Taking notes.
I know. And then she got it. And I was like, wow, that's amazing.
I love that.
You know?
Her.
And so like, that's kind of like, I don't know. I grew up on these great fantasy like stories. And then, you know, when I started doing my own business, she was a person I went to for like the business side of things. I was like, what do I do? How do I do this? And she was like, you need to like, you know, you need to organize it like this. You need to think about your 5-year plan. Da, 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 da. So she really helped me actually create my brand as well. And so then now she's like a school teacher, like completely did a 180 in her life. She's like obsessed with kind of like helping the next generation. Like she teaches math to like little kids, like it's adorable.
So sweet.
And like, you know, she's like taking up painting now as well. And she's just slowed her life down.
She's mellowed out a bit.
Yeah, she mellowed out, which like it's cute. But now I'm like in like the part where I'm like, I want to fucking
you're
like,
the
kick
tiger
ass.
Mom. Yeah. So how does she feel about being your muse though?
She loves it. She loves the attention. I always knew that she did, but then like this time around when I like brought her out to the runway and everything and like brought her backstage with me to do interviews, she was like eating it up.
I love it.
Obsessed.
Maya's collection, it feels a little bit more sentimental. Will we see a softening of the signature spikes,
yeah,
do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think like, you know, I've always been up for changing always. Like every season we try to like develop something new or like, you know, take our brand into a new direction. So this season, you know, we definitely wanted to create a softer appearance. I mean, to replicate, you know, the change that my mom had made.
Yeah.
And also in terms of our brand, like, you know, we started off like super punky and super kind of like Y2K cyber kids. And now that it's, you know, it's the era of trying to like calm everything down and just try to look really, really chic.
Totally.
You know, that's
also
what we're trying to go for.
I loved that you included the visually impaired as well.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
So my hairstylist, Anna Caffone, actually, she created this amazing project called Hair and Care. And essentially they help visually impaired women do their hair and makeup. And so it's amazing because, like, you know, obviously that's not something that you'd really think that the visually impaired would care about, but they want to look beautiful as well. And so just to include them into the show was like super empowering. And also it was super easy as well. It wasn't that big of a deal. I think a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, you have to like think of all these different things about them, but like, it's quite easy. You just have to make sure that you have samples for them to feel. Right. And that the speakers aren't too loud. That's literally it.
That's so wonderful.
Yeah,
I
and
love
then
that.
We recorded a little audio description of every single look as well in the general collection. And they really appreciated it. It was honestly so beautiful to, like, you know, see them appreciate it as well. And like we spoke afterwards and they were like so happy. And yeah, it was really, really sweet. I like nearly shed a tear. Oh. And I never cry. So it was like,
that's so lovely.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
You showed / served 31 looks. Can you tell us the journey from conceptualizing all of this to the crescendo of the catwalk?
So basically I always like to like conceptualize something and then relate it to like a visual identity. So for example, like, you know, taking my mom's journey from like corporate world to artistry, you know, I really wanted to play on the element of opacity because this vulnerable side of her, I think, was a lot more soul bearing than putting up like armor for like going to work or whatever. So we took like classic kind of like office prints, kind of like the checks and like these stripes, and then just like made them extraordinarily transparent, and also like played with classic kind of office silhouettes like the suit and tie and everything, and then like added spikes onto it or like made it completely sheer. So it was like super fun to kind of like have these little nods to the concept without it being overtly like clear, because for us, I think, like, I always think of a finished collection as like a visual thing, and then to be able to know the backstory about it is also just a cherry on top, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I see. And then can you describe to us that feeling post show?
It's literally like
you're floating.
It's amazing.
It just must be so exhilarating to have it done and
it's the best feeling when you know, because whenever, like, obviously when you wear clothes, the second you put them on, you look in the mirror, you're like, oh, I look amazing. Yeah. And then you like come back home, you're like, oh my God, was this like twisted like this the entire day? Like, your clothes shift.
Yeah.
And so sometimes when you like, even when you're walking 10 paces, like, you'll like get the model all ready and everything, and then they take a couple steps out and you look in the monitor and you're like, oh, fuck. Like the skirts shifted slightly because they like stepped a bit too much.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So like,
you're thinking of all these
I'm
things.
I'm thinking of every single possible outcome. And so, like, by the time the show is done, you're just like, it's fucking done. Everyone looked okay. Nobody slipped.
Yeah.
I'm more like doom planning rather than like, oh my God, we did so good. I'm more like, okay, nothing went wrong. So I'm super happy about it.
What's that thing called, like, ominous positivity? Have you heard that? Like, better days are coming.
Yeah. It's very me. Yeah. I'm super, super pessimistic about everything.
So as
long as everything goes fine, I'm like super happy. But yeah. I felt incredibly elated. And then the second I left the venue, I was like, instant come down.
Oh, no.
Like, my whole body just fell apart.
Then he's down.
Yeah, exactly.
On that note of putting on a garment, how do you want the wearer to feel wearing your clothes?
I always say I want them to feel incredibly sexy and I want them to feel very, very powerful. I think when I first started off, it was kind of like, unabashful, like, just super duper, I don't even know if that's a word.
Just throw it in there.
But like, I want them to be like unapologetic and be like, fuck you to the world, like really, really strong emotions. Now I'm kind of like, okay, whenever I get dressed, it's like a nod to like, fuck you, but I still want to look really, really chic and like presentable to the world.
Yeah.
And so I want people to, like, whenever they put it on, be able to, like, you know, still feel sexy and still feel really confident, but still be like cocooned, you know, and still like have that kind of safety net.
Yeah.
And also, like, you know, when you're physically wearing it, you're constant. I mean, I'm constantly like feeling it like this. It's like it's a nice little nervous tick for me, but I want them to feel the strength that we put into the actual collection.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So you were born and raised in New York, you live in London, your family's from Hong Kong. How are you, if at all, reflected in your collections?
Very much so. So I always try to blend a mixture of like Eastern and Western concepts. You know, so like for the previous season, I mean, since its inception, the brand has always been inspired by like the durian, which is why we have the spike. So it's very kind of like Eastern already inspired.
Damn it, you stole my question right here. Where does the signature spike come from? It's giving durian chic.
It is inspired by the durian. I think like, you know, I've always wanted to reference Eastern and Western worlds. I love that mix because yes. Especially that is me.
Me too.
Yeah. And so I wanted, you know, to have like the kind of textures and the prints really replicate an Eastern world, but having it like put and contextualized in a Western perspective because yeah. That's where I live. And so like I've always wanted that in terms of the concept as well, like to have it inspired by my mom who like, you know, is from Hong Kong, is Chinese, but like immigrated to America and took over America. You know, I think like that powerful message is what we were inspired by this season. And then in previous seasons, we were inspired by like the Terracotta Army, but then wanted to like put it in a Western perspective again. So my concepts are always innately Eastern. Mm-hmm. And then we try to like meld in like a Western influence to it.
Okay. Well, you are famous for your contemporary take on knitwear. And it's funny because when I think of knitwear, I think of like a little old lady crocheting. Yeah. But then for you, you've mentioned before, it's really mathematical.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's incredibly mathematical. I love the concept of an old lady knitting because that is actually me.
Yeah, that's you at home.
Exactly. But no, it's incredibly mathematical. Like you have to be so specific about like the tension and about like the amount of stitches and, you know, you're like, because we are like creating the fabric and like matching it to like the dimensions of a body. And so everything, it's not like cut and sewn or anything. It's all like mapped out perfectly. And so that takes a lot of math. And then also like, you know, with the actual like knitting of the spikes, you have to be really like, we're dividing this essentially into a grid and you have to like force the tension of each grid in a certain direction. And so like all these kinds of things, you're mixing in like physics and math and you're having to think about like the weights and the compositions of things. Like wool reacts differently to cotton and then that all reacts differently to synthetic yarn. So like you have to really think about everything and it's a lot of trial and error, but it is really, really, really fun. I love it. But yeah, it's a bitch.
That's so funny. Is there any other common thread woven through the fabric of your designs other than the signature spike, would you say, that's present in every collection?
We basically really love, we love to have the spikes in every collection, but every season we like to like continually experiment with different knit techniques as well. So we've played a lot with like a different types of like image in ribs and stuff. And then we've also played a lot with, kind of like pleating this season. There's always this idea of texture throughout the collections. Last season was literally pleating organza, but the season before we knitted in like sequins and it created a beautiful kind of like shingly sound. And also we created beautiful like textured ribs where like if you looked at it and if you stretch it out, you could see images of flowers. So there's always kind of experimenting behind the spikes.
Oh, I love that. So I read that your label started as one big accident because you wanted a 9-to-5 but realized there wasn't enough drama.
Yeah, exactly. I graduated in pandemic, which was hilarious.
Fun time.
It was a great time for me and everybody involved.
To start your career. Exactly. Amazing.
And so basically I started working at Burberry and it was a 9-to-5. It was kind of like, you know, we worked and worked and worked and it was kind of, you know, it gets monotonous and you're doing the same thing over and over again. And like every once in a while it'd be like, okay, like we need to get this done now. Like this needs to be done tonight.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh my God. But then like that only happens every once in a while. And you're like, okay, after like a while, you're just like, okay, I'm just filling in like colors for things. It doesn't actually matter that much. And then I kind of was also thinking I just put out like a collection out there just because I was like happy. And I was like, okay, I've already done all this work. I might as well show it to the world. And that accidentally took off. And so at a certain point I was like working on my own brand in the evenings and the weekends and then working at Burberry as well. So it kind of was like I was working 24/7. It was a little bit exhausting. And so I was like, okay, you know what? my brand was very, very dramatic. It was like every other day I didn't know whether I'd be able to survive, but I loved that drama. Like, I love it so much. And so I quit Burberry, started doing that full time, and now I'm having a nervous breakdown. So.
The future is bright, kids.
No, the drama is beautiful. The other week we were in Paris and I was so tired from being constantly hungover. Then like we were in showrooms and then this other designer came up to me and she was like, "Have you heard what's going on with the models?" My heart.
What was going on with the models?
Literally, they were just like hating on somebody, but my heart started racing and I literally like,
this
it was
is
like,
the tea. The
it
tea.
Was like a shot of espresso. I was like, what's going on? Who did that? Who said what? It was amazing. I live for drama.
You need to be on The Real Housewives.
I do. Because I'm also the best person because I don't actually participate in the drama. I just spread it.
Oh, you're that person.
I spread it like
you're
wildfire.
The pot
stirrer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, wait, did you hear what she
did
said about you?
Hear?
Like, I'm so sorry to tell you this, but I just want you to know all the facts.
You're basically a journalist.
I know.
Give him a Peabody. So how did you feel when you first saw a regular punter on the street wearing one of your designs?
I remember it was actually in the Standard Hotel in Decimo, like the restaurant there. And I was walking in because I used to have a residency there. And so I was walking in having lunch with one of my friends and then I looked over and I was like, oh, that top looks familiar.
So it wasn't instant like...
No, it wasn't. I just was like, oh, I remember that. Looked around and I was like, wait, oh my God. And then like she didn't recognize me, which was great. I just was like, oh, okay, she's just a fab girl.
Yeah.
Like having lunch. And then it just kind of from then on my heart kind of like grew. Like, I was like so, so happy. And then, you know, every time I see it in the streets or something or seeing a photo of somebody wear it, it just makes me so happy. Like
so
it's
incredible.
It's really, really beautiful. It's a beautiful experience. I like love them. I love my people. So.
That's so good. Well, from regular people, regular folks such as myself, through to celebrities. Okay, I mean, Kendall and Kylie Jenner, Zendaya, like so many names. But who was the OG? Where did the celeb affiliation begin?
I think actually the first celebrity that pulled something was Ash Nico.
Ooh.
Really out of left field. Yeah, super random. Like she started it off. Then we were working with, there's that like AI singer. She's like, only digital. I forgot what her name is.
I'm too millennial for this. Yeah.
It was like bouncing. Oh, there was amazing. Oh God, what's her name? Michaela Cole.
Oh,
Michaela
okay,
Cole
okay.
Borrowed something as well. Like wore something to, this was before she got incredibly big though.
Mm.
And then the thing that properly did us in was Doja Cat and SZA.
Yes.
That music video kind of like blew our little minds because mm-hmm. we also didn't know it was happening.
Huh? What do
like
you mean?
We knew it was happening. We'd done the customs for it, but like a lot of stylists are like, yeah. Oh my God, we're definitely going to shoot it. And then like, it's just like, oh, something last minute happened. Like 90% of it happens
this
like that.
This industry is so like that.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, like it's very fickle.
You never know what never happened.
Know.
So I wasn't expecting anything. Mm. And then all of a sudden it was, I was watching the music video and I was like, oh my God, it's happened.
So you saw it for the first time with the rest of us.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was beautiful. It was so, I was like, so, I fully was just in bed. Like I woke up and I was like, it's out. And I was like, I don't want to watch it because I just don't know if it's actually in there.
Yeah.
Maybe it's in there for like 1 second.
You're like, it may break my heart.
Yeah,
if it's
yeah,
not in
exactly.
There.
Yeah, and then I saw it and I was like, yeah. Like literally jumping and screaming in bed. I had like 4 flatmates at the time. They were all really mad at me.
And then I just realized an unexpected person was Lisa Rinna.
Oh, I love Lisa.
Amazing.
She's amazing. I had actually met her like a year before we actually worked together. We were at like Chilton Firehouse and then she just came up to me. She's like, Chad Lowe. And I was like, the fucking Lisa Rinna is talking to me right now and she knows my name.
I have made it. We are done.
I literally, like, I could just hang up my towel now. I'm literally done.
Hang up your spice.
Yeah. I was so fucking happy. And then we were talking and da da da. And then her like manager reached out to work together for the fashion awards. And so I was just like fuck yeah, like this is like a no-brainer for me. Yeah. And she's like, you know, she, the way that she's on screen is the way that she is in real life. Like she's an icon. She's amazing.
Yeah.
And so she was like, I saw her, we like did a fitting in her hotel room, and then she just like ripped everything off, like almost completely naked. She's like, let's try it on, babe. And then like she put it on, she's like, I need my waist to be thinner. And like
it
was like
snatch.
Yeah, it was like an experience. I was like, I should be paying for this. Like, you are an amazing person.
Well, this is your in for Real Housewives.
Yeah, I know. And then we were at the event, we were having dinner, we were watching the award ceremony and everything, and like I was nominated for an award, and when my name popped up, like she literally screamed. The
Hype
scream
woman.
That she scrumped was so loud. It was like reverberating through to the point where like the announcer was like, oh wow, Chet Lowe's got a big table. And I was like, oh my God.
No, it's just Lisa.
Yeah. And then I didn't win, unfortunately. And then she just was like, fuck that guy. I love her.
This is so funny. Well, you clearly do appeal to both the Gen Z and like this Y2K millennial sensibility. But who is the ultimate Chet Lowe personality?
I love my Y2K Gen Z babies. Mm-hmm. I love them so much because I actually am Gen Z. Mm-hmm. I'm on the cusp. I'm 97.
Yeah.
So I see the best of both
worlds. you're here looking at both sides.
Exactly. Yeah. But for me, the ideal person that I dress for is actually kind of like, if you picture like an art curator wearing like a really, really weird, bizarre, spiky piece, but they're like going around being like, no, the Monet needs to go there. And like the Basquiat should go there. That's like my ideal client.
That is so unexpected.
I know. I quite like it though. Like I love juxtapositioning like different ideas together. So like this person that's like so hoity-toity but wearing like batshit crazy clothes. That's what I love, love, love.
Imagine Anna Wintour.
I know. I mean,
you know
that
what I mean?
Would be
it's
amazing.
That dichotomy.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Like really, really calm personality. Mm-hmm. Insane appearance.
Love.
Yeah.
Would you say you are a meticulous person?
Absolutely not. No. I'm like really chaotic.
Unhinged.
Like, basically. Like I don't really care that much about details.
You don't?
I mean, I do, but no, I don't. Like my team does for me.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'll be the one that's like, I don't really give a shit. Like just fucking like do this, whatever. Like stick like shit together. I used to like hot glue stuff together. I didn't really care as long as it looked presentable.
Uh-huh.
And then my team now are the ones that are like, no, this needs a proper finish. Or like, we can't use this yarn. Like it's
no
unwearable. Yeah. It's constantly that. And I'm like, fuck you guys. Like it's always
this
that.
This is no fun.
Yeah. So I'm the one that's always trying to like push the vision to be a bit kooky. And then they're the ones that bring me down. So it's quite nice to have kind of like a weight to keep me grounded.
That's good.
Yeah. But I'm not a meticulous person at all.
Okay. Well, what was it like working under John Galliano at Margiela?
That was crazy.
Was it?
Yeah. I mean, he as well. I mean, he's a very meticulous person.
Well, that's what
he
I was gonna
knows
say.
All the details and everything. Mm. I think like in that way, I guess I am. Like I know all the details of everything, but like if there's something that's wrong, I won't be like, this needs to be fixed. I'll just be like, whatever. And like, I'm like, it's the back. Nobody can see the back of the runway.
The back is not my problem.
Like, we'll fix it later for production, whatever. But I think working there was kind of insane because it was like, obviously, you know, the collection that I was working on, it was, I think like spring, summer 2018 or 2019 or something like that.
So pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
Mm.
It was insane. Like the actual collection was like, it was all the ones with like the poodles and everything. It was like, and so like there, you could get lost in all the details, but somehow he didn't. Like he was very, very like, he knew everything. And so like, also like watching the collection actually come together, I remember thinking, oh my God, this collection looks like really boring. Like it's like all the wrong fabrics. And you're like, oh my God, like I don't really understand it. Like, where are we going with this? This doesn't make any sense. And then literally the night before I was like, oh my God, like everything was done up properly. And I was like, whoa.
It all came together.
Like, it's crazy. He has all these kind of like things that he just references and pulls in together. And then it just like overnight just becomes like a thing. So it was insane. I mean, we were working till like 3 a.m. consistently. Like
fashion never sleeps.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of crazy. And then in the sleep deprivation, I think you kind of find joy.
True. You're like, I'm Delirious.
Yeah. I think I smoked like 40 cigarettes a day when I was there, but it's France.
Just to make it through.
It's Paris.
That is so funny. What would you say was your biggest takeaway from him?
I think learning how to put a collection together and seeing how something goes from start to finish was really fascinating. Like, he literally would, like, the mood boards that he'd create were, like, so random. Mm. And he'd pull the tiniest little detail, like, from, like, a sailor's jacket and then from, like, a safari jacket and then, like, you know, like, the silhouette of, like, a geisha's kimono. Like, it was, like, all these random things that you wouldn't really think would go together.
Yeah.
And then also, like, you know, he'd have the concept in his head already, but he wouldn't tell anybody, or he wouldn't tell the interns, which makes sense. But, like, you're just pinning all these pictures together and you're like, what the hell is going on? And then in the end, he was talking about the actual collection and the concept and everything. And I was like, oh, my God, this makes so much sense. Like, like everything came together. Even the way that he was researching was all in the manner of the concept. Like, it was all about kind of like this influx of information that you receive from social media. That was kind of what the collection was about. And so if you look at the prints, they were like, pff, like crazy 3D poodles and da da da. And then, like, if you looked at the research itself, it was like random research from everything, because he was trying to recreate that idea that you have on Instagram of just every single fucking thing on your feed. And so that for me was like super fascinating. He's like dedicated to the process. And I find it really, really inspiring and really, really beautiful.
Because I do feel like you pull from lots of different sources of inspo as well.
Yeah,
like,
I don't care as much as he does.
You're like, I'm not intense. Like,
No. I'm not like a creative genius. He's like creative genius. I'm just trying to make a buck.
I'm just trying to sell my clothes.
I'm trying to stay alive at this point.
Just trying to feed myself. But I read that you love just random things like nature documentaries.
Oh, I fucking love a nature documentary.
Love David Attenborough.
Yeah, I don't know why, like, somehow my collections always end up looking very animalistic.
Yeah.
Somehow. Like, we were creating, like, a print with, like, the spikes where, like, this season where there's, like, a bit of a glitch and it was, like, brown and black. And then I looked at it after we'd finished it and I was like, fuck, this is alligator skin.
Like, I thought you were going to say this looks like bark.
No, everything just always looks, you know, like the spikes are very, very like sea urchin. Like, everything is very...
feels organic.
Organic, yeah. Mm. It always ends up going there. I don't know how, but I love it.
Would you say that you're more focused on the wearability or the concept?
I used to be more focused on the concept. Mm. I used to be like, fuck wearability. Because I was very much like that. Like, I mean, I went to Central St. Martin's. Everyone around me was like... I used to wear like fucking like anchovies. Like, I would like, I latexed anchovies onto like my trousers. It was disgusting.
Wait.
Like,
from the sea?
No, yeah, like dried anchovies. And I like placed them in a pattern and everything. And then I latexed the whole trouser.
People, you'd walk past them, they'd be like, yeah, there's the fish guy.
It was like disgusting, but it was a concept. So
I'm glad you didn't wear anchovies today. Be like,
those days are long over. The dog days are over. Yeah, now we're chic. So now I really care about, because I didn't realize the power of kind of like feeling like to slightly be underdressed but still be really, really cool. Like, I didn't understand that power until now. Because nowadays, like, when I actually go out to these events or like go out to like society, like, I actually get to meet people that are really, really like amazing and really, really talented. And like, most of the time they're not wearing crazy things. Like, they're just very, very powerful within themselves.
Yeah.
And so that concept, I think, is super inspiring to me. And so I really wanted to be able to like portray that. Obviously, I look batshit crazy today.
No, you don't. You look amazing.
But it's taking kind of like really simple pieces, like a crew neck, your classic kind of like gray crew neck, and then fucking it up with the textile, you know?
Yeah. And I realized you've actually got thumb.
Oh, I always put thumbs through here, even though it's not actually a problem. That's why they're like destroyed, because I'm always like rubbing them on stuff.
Oh, so that's just a spike. That's just
a spike that I put my thumb through.
So cute. I love it.
I love like the Ariana Grande kind of aesthetic.
Exactly. You know? It feels cozy but professional.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I wanted to ask, Do you want to show us the last picture in your camera roll?
Oh my
God. And describe it to us?
Wait, this might be really, really bad.
This is Vogue Uncut, after all.
Let me see what it is really quickly first.
I'm like, scared for you. What is it?
It's a picture that I took in the hotel. I was trying to show my team, like, the nice hotel room.
And that's what you sent them?
I was like, I'm having a great time. I love it here.
I lost my bag. Stop it. You're the man in the moon.
I live a very unserious life.
Clearly. That is so good.
I loved it.
That went
it.
So much better than I expected. Okay, that takes us to our Vogue Uncut Quickfire questions.
Okay.
I mean, I wanted to rebrand it to Vogue Uncut Quickies, but they told me they quickly vetoed that and said that was for
Don't
another podcast.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
Okay, so as you could imagine, it's going to be just like tell us whatever first comes to mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, if you were in a band, what would it be called and what would the music genre be?
Well, I already created a band with my friends. It's called Chet and the Sisters because I'm friends with sisters. We're not actually a band, but I love it. And the music would be punk rock. I don't know.
It's very on brand.
I think that's great.
That's great. It's in the bag. Okay. What was your favorite fashion item as a teenager?
Oh my God. These fucking Livestrong bracelets.
Oh yes.
Oh, I really drank the Kool-Aid on that one.
That like, didn't blind, age well, it did it?
But like all the different colored ones, yes. I have all of them.
Yes. Yeah, they were super popular.
Yeah, they were really, really popular.
Okay. Most embarrassing fashion moment.
I fucking wear anchovies to school. Like I don't really know what can lay like, top that.
Why did I even ask that? We know. Here comes anchovy guy. So good. Okay, a film that inspires me is
Everything Everywhere All at Once. I love that film. It's beautiful. But I have so many. I just watched The Grandmaster last night as well. Love that film. There's and then also The Handmaiden.
Mm-hmm.
Love that one.
Yeah.
There's loads of films that I'm inspired by.
And I mean Stephanie's here.
Is she?
Yes. Did you just, I thought you said that to kind of be like on brand.
I did not know that she's
Stephanie
here.
Stephanie Hsu is here.
What?
She is our VVIP for Next in Vogue.
Wait, is she going to be? Well, I haven't even fucking been downstairs yet.
Yeah. She's in the building.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm literally going to jump off this building.
You need to flock to her and tell her that you're a big fan.
I love her so much.
Just throw spikes at her.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to kidnap her.
Yeah. Please don't, actually.
You heard it here first.
I still
love kidnap Stephanie Hsu.
If there's any doubt, it's on tape. Who did it? Okay, well, as this is a podcast series, I kind of wanted to cap off every interview asking my guest to give my next guest a question.
Okay, who's so your next guest?
Well, I don't know what order they're going to actually upload these. So,
okay.
It could be anything. Like, what is your coffee order? Like, you know what I mean?
Anything.
Anything generic.
Anything generic.
And I'll say, Chetlo asked you this.
Oh, God. That's a lot of pressure, isn't it? What do you say to yourself every night before going to bed? That sounded a lot deeper than I meant it to. No, because whenever I go to bed, I'm always just like, I always like kind of have my own mantra that I say to myself. Which
Wait,
is,
what do you say?
Well, I'm always like, tomorrow's going to be a better day. Even if it's a great day, I'm like, tomorrow's going to be a better day. And then I go to bed kind of like forgetting about today's errors.
Drama.
Today's drama. And I just always think about like turning the next page tomorrow.
I love that. That's so wonderful.
How do you sleep at night?
You're like, not much. Oh my goodness. Honestly, it's been such a pleasure having you on.
Yeah, it was fun.
I feel like we could speak for 5 hours.
I know. I thought this could last for 3 hours.
It actually could. I don't know if anyone would be listening by then. But thank you so much, Jay.
Thank you.
So nice. We should take a picture of our matching
bags. Yeah, we should. We definitely need to.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.